My name's Luke Hurley. Hi. I am not going to claim I'm very good up here, but I guess, just like Paul said, I want to deliver to you that which I have also received. And really, that's what we do every week here. None of us necessarily enjoy being up here. None of us, I shouldn't say that. Some of us are pretty good up here, not me. Some people are pretty good up here, but it's not that we're all good up here, but we're here because we have received something. It's changed our lives. We'd like to share that with you in hopes that it can change your life as well. So with that being said, we will bow our heads and ask for God's blessing on this meeting. Our Father, we give thanks for the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks that He came into this world. We were just thinking about how He didn't deserve everything He got. He went to the cross even though He was sinless. He was punished for crimes that weren't His, that He wasn't guilty of. But more than that, He was punished for our sin, which we did, not Him. We give thanks that we can be made righteous through what He did, and then we don't have to be punished for what we've done. It doesn't seem fair, but as the ones who are the beneficiaries of this, we say thanks. We pray that You would give us help to share this message. We pray that someone would see their own need tonight and trust God. We just give thanks for Your love. In Your Son's name, amen. So, tonight, I plan on telling a story from the Bible and comparing it with some verses that I've been coming across in my daily reading. So, you guys, I'm sure, all know the story. It's found in Genesis chapter 2. And this is the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Now, I didn't actually pre-plan what sections of this I'll read, so we might end up reading more than we need to, but reading a lot of the Bible is never a bad thing. So, I'm sure you all know, but this is the beginning of the Bible, this is the beginning of the world. God has just spent 6 days creating the world, the animals, everything. He rested, and then He created man. I think I have that in the right order. Created man and woman. And we will begin chapter 2, verse 15. And it says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." So we know the Garden of Eden, it was a perfect place. It had lovely fruits and vegetables, and there was no insects that bothered you. It was a sinless, perfect place. And the Lord God, He took man and He put him in there. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." I was thinking there last week. Sometimes I used to think that God put this rule in here just purely to test man. Just to trip him up, right? Sometimes we think that way. It's a funny way to think. But I was thinking of my own kids. I have two little girls. One's 4 and a half, one's 2 and a half. And I love them. And if I send them out the door, I did actually earlier this week, sent them out the door. One of them has a little balance bike and one of them's learning to ride a bike with training wheels. And they went out the door. And I didn't just let them run, did I? I gave them instructions. I gave them boundaries. I said, don't go past that tree line. Because if you go past that tree line, there's danger. There's the road. And you could be hurt. That's what God was doing here, isn't it? He wasn't giving man something to trip him up. He was giving man boundaries. Because anybody who loves anybody knows that boundaries are for our own good, aren't they? And that's really what God was doing here. He says, don't eat of it. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So He gives them boundaries. He gives them consequences. And then in verse 18, 19, we know that man creates the woman, and Adam gives names to everything. And then we'll jump back in at verse 23. "So He made a woman, and Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. So we'll compare this to later on in the story. Chapter 3, verse 1 now. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of the tree, of every tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said to the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband, and he did eat. I want to make this very clear. This was two specific decisions, wasn't it? The woman decided for herself. We know now that she made the wrong decision. She probably knew that too, but she got tricked. She gave to the man. Again, another decision. The man says, Well, God said not to eat of this, but my wife's offering it to us, so I guess I will. And he made another decision. Two specific decisions against God. And the story goes on. So verse 7, And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and they made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? Verse 10, And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And the story goes on. So, there's a little bit of back and forth. God tells them that they'll be banished from the garden. He curses the serpent. He makes a promise. We're not going to talk about that promise so much tonight. He makes a promise to the serpent, to the devil, that there would be one come that would overcome him. We know that's the Lord Jesus. And then unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth unto thee. And thou shalt eat of the herb of the field, and in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat thy bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it thou wast taken, and for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And we know that they were sent out of the garden. God put cherubims across the gate so they'd stay away from the tree of life. And that's the story of Adam and Eve. Now I've been reading in 2 Corinthians, and there's a number of verses that stood out to me in relation to this story. So we're just gonna think about those tonight. And the first one is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And before I read it, I want to explain myself. So we know the story. Man did wrong. I just shut my notes off. That'd be bad. Man did wrong. And man goes and hides. That's what we do. We can relate to that, can't we? We've probably all done that before. I know my kids do that. Sometimes they do wrong. I can remember it. Doing wrong. I know my father. He tells a story of one time he broke a window when he was young, and he went and hid under the bed. So I'm not the only one. We do wrong. We try to avoid it, don't we? We try to hide. And Adam and Eve were the exact same. They did wrong, and they hid. I'm really driving this point home, but they did as nothing to bring themselves back towards God, did they? They really turned their back on God. Who reached out first? We know it was God, don't we? God reached out to them. God walked in the garden, and he called out to them. He asked where they were. God knew where they were, but he started the conversation. Now, I want to think about this now. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, because I want to compare that to you. God's making the first move with you too, isn't he? And this verse in my mind proves it. Christ, or God, is not specifically here visibly in this meeting tonight. We know he's here. But visibly, he's not standing here in front of you. But this says about us that are trying to share the gospel, that invited you here, that make up the church that gathers in this building. We're ambassadors for Christ, it says in verse 20. And it says, as though God did beseech you through us, by us. So imagine this is God speaking to you through us. Now, I'm not trying to put myself up in some high pedestal because I'm a long ways from perfect and I don't feel like I'm a very good ambassador. But that's really my job here tonight, is to share what God wants you to know with you. So, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you through us, quote, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. In the garden, that's really what God was wanting to do. He called out, where are you? He wanted to be reconciled. He wanted to fix what was wrong between him and Adam. But he couldn't do that while Adam was hiding behind the bushes, was he? Could he? And you know, Christ is reaching out to you tonight. It may be pretty feebly through me. But Christ is reaching out. He's calling to you. And you know, Adam, when God called out, we weren't there. I don't know if Adam had to work up the courage to tell God where he was. I imagine if I was in Adam's shoes, I would have had to. My heart would be racing. I imagine there might have been 30 or 40 seconds go by before I got the courage to say anything. Because we don't like facing our sin. And Adam didn't want to either. And I've been in your shoes before, and I know that you likely don't want to face your sin. But God's calling, and he needs a response. You will never, ever be reconciled to God if there's not a response. That's the truth. If Adam had have hid forever, he would have never been forgiven. And that's just as simple as it comes. If you hide from God forever, you will never be made right with God. So that's my first point. So God made the first move. So the second point that I'm working towards is in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. When did Adam make his move? So God made the first move. Now the ball is in Adam's court, as it were. And the ball is in your court, because God has made the first move. And when do you commit of hiding? In the story of Adam and Eve, it doesn't seem like it's very long. Like I said, it might have been a minute, maybe two. Doesn't seem like it was very long. I know me, 19 years I was in hiding. And I did everything I could to not think about my sin. If I thought about God, I tried to think about something else. I was in hiding a long time. But when does God want us to come out of hiding? And this verse is right at the beginning of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and it says, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee, or I have helped thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. God does not want us to make our move tomorrow, because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. He doesn't want us to set. I know sometimes I have quite a few projects, and sometimes it finally comes to a point where I think, okay, I need to get that project done. I'm going to do it Tuesday. And I set a reminder in my phone that I'm going to do it Tuesday. That's not how God wants us to treat salvation. He wants us to go for it now. He doesn't want us to set a reminder for later. He doesn't want us to even make up our mind that we're going to do it later. He wants us to do it now. And that's really what Adam did, it seems. God called out to Adam, and Adam responded. And that's what God's waiting for. For you tonight, he wants you to respond. So, Again, I ask you, are you hiding from God still? God's calling out to you. Are you hiding? The second thought I had on this point is that, do you know who to turn to? Adam had a relationship with God. Adam knew that God loved him. I think you know the same. You likely know the Bible enough to know that God is love. God loves you. God has done things for you. We're going to talk about that. But I know that Adam knew that God was the one who could solve his problems. Adam knew he had a problem because he had sinned. He had done things against God. That one thing that God had told him not to do, he did. And although he was scared to face God, I'm quite sure he knew God could solve his problem. So I want you to know that too. God is the one to turn to, and God is waiting for you to turn to him. So, that brings me to my next point. And in this one, it's in chapter 7 of 2 Corinthians. And this verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." And I was just thinking of how this relates to us, because sometimes we're caught in the act of something. We do something wrong, we're caught. And we can be two types of sad, can't we? We can be upset that we were caught, or we can be upset that we actually did it. And Adam could have very well come out and said, "You gave us one rule, you meant to do that." And he could have started pointing the finger at God, but I don't think he did he? He did point the finger. He pointed the finger at his wife, but that's beside the point. With salvation, God wants sorrow, but he doesn't want sorrow in the sense that I'm sorry I got caught. He wants sorrow in the sense that I'm sorry I did it. He wants us to understand that we've done wrong, because we have. The Bible says that. Romans tells us all have sinned. I quote this every time I speak. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Isaiah tells us that those sins we've done have separated us and God. So there's a separation. We know that. But God's waiting for repentance. God wants us to understand that what we have done is wrong. And I think if you read between the lines of Adam and Eve's story, I think they did realize what they did was wrong. Even though they did just like we did, and they started pointing the finger at other people, I think ultimately they came to a point where they realized that they themselves had made that decision, because we know they did. So, that was the next point I wanted to make. What's your attitude towards God? God says you're a sinner. God says that your sin is bringing you to hell. God says that your sin separates you from Him and it can't enter heaven. And how is your attitude towards God? Are you still pointing the finger at Him? Or is it pointing back at you, saying, "I've done wrong"? Because that's what God wants. Godly sorrow produces repentance. So, the next point in this story of Adam and Eve, we're going to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. And this verse says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." We know that after Adam faced his sin, came out before God, it says God clothed them with coats of skin. Skin doesn't come from nowhere, does it? Skin comes from an animal, and an animal had to die. That animal was not the one who had sinned, was it? As far as deserving things, that animal did not deserve to die. It was Adam that deserved to die, because God said, "The day you eat thereof, you will die." So Adam deserved it, but the animal took it. And that verse we just read about the Lord Jesus. He was rich. He was from heaven. We were poor. We were sinners. We deserved hell. But grace. He gave us something we didn't deserve. And that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we, through his poverty, he brought himself down, we might be made rich. And this verse, I think, ties in so good with 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. You don't have to turn there, but I'm going to read it. For he, God, hath made him, Jesus, for God hath made Jesus to be sin for us, who knew no sin. So Jesus took on sin. He died for sin, even though he had never sinned, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I don't know about you, but when I look at myself, I don't see righteousness. I know right now that I'm redeemed, but if I look at myself, I don't deserve heaven. I don't. But I know that Jesus, he bore my sin on the cross, and I put my faith in him. And because of that, because God says that's enough, I will be in heaven. And I know more than that. God somehow looks through the Lord Jesus and he sees me as righteous, which is amazing. So, God made the first move. Adam had to commit of hiding. Adam had to have the right attitude towards God, just like we do. Someone had to die at Adam's place, and someone died in our place. I already talked about rights. We were sinners, and we deserved punishment. We deserved hell, because we all know, let's just relate it back to simple things. If our kid does wrong, if we do wrong, if we speed, we have to pay the consequences. We have sinned. We've done wrong. The consequences, God says, are hell, and we deserve it. That's what our rights are. That's what we deserve. But Jesus, who is perfect, who is sinless, who is God's Son, who owns the world, was put on a cross, and he suffered for my sins. He suffered for your sins so that you could be made free. So, he got what he didn't deserve so that we could get what we don't deserve. And all we have to do is put our trust in God. I'm sure Adam, in those moments where he was hiding, he was probably thinking, God said, I'm going to die. God said, I'm going to die. God said, I'm going to die. When God spared his life, I know life was never the same for Adam afterwards, but God spared his life. That animal took Adam's punishment. God clothed him with coats of skin. I am sure Adam, realizing that he was supposed to die, I'm quite sure these were his words. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. I'm quite sure Adam realized the severity of his situation. And he was thankful to God for offering him forgiveness. If you've ever realized the severity of your situation, and you've accepted God's gift, these would be your words too. Because it really is an unspeakable gift. It's something we don't deserve. It's something we could never earn. It's something we could never work towards. Something God just wants to give us. If somebody gave me $1 million, I'd be thrilled. It would be an unspeakable gift. But this gift from God is so much more than $1 million. It's an eternity in heaven with someone who loves you. It's a father who sent his son to die for your sins. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. I hope and I pray that that is the words of somebody's heart tonight.